Welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast, the audio version of the Josh Meister's Lost blog, which you can find at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Hey everybody, this is the Josh Meister and welcome back to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast. We just got finished watching Season 6, Episode 14, The Candidate, and it was very, very good episode. There was a lot of action, unfortunately also the loss of a couple of main characters. Before we get started, I just wanted to mention at the top of the show, I wanted to thank the listeners who have made a donation. I have met my donation goal. For those who haven't listened or haven't heard me talk about it before, I wasn't able to get Lost through the antenna anymore in spite of having a digital, tuner built into my TV and everything. Just ABC wouldn't come in and like all the other regular network channels would. So I had to get cable. And so, I just got the cheapest package that they had just so I could get ABC. And, so as of, this morning, actually, I got the last donation that I needed to cover paying for cable for just while Lost is on. So thank you very much to those who donated. If you didn't and you meant to, that's okay. It's the thought that counts. I appreciate that too. So there still is a donation button on the site, but I'm not going to request donations on the podcast anymore. If you want to, you can, but it's not required. The important thing for me was kind of making sure that I had the cable bill paid off because I'm going to cancel it obviously after this month. I'm just not that into to watching live TV. Everything else that I watch is pretty much on Hulu, so. And other than that, of course, I watch stuff on Netflix too. Don't have much need for cable outside of Lost. So after this month, I can cancel it and yay. All right. Also, another positive thing to Lost winding down is that I'll be done with TalkShoe soon. I'm so excited for that. TalkShoe, yeah. For those who don't participate in live shows on TalkShoe, this isn't going to necessarily make a lot of sense, but for those who have, you probably know that TalkShoe is usually pretty buggy and very irritating. And it'll be very nice to be done with that very soon. All right. So let's dive into the episode. Again, a lot of good stuff that came out in this episode. A pretty simple preview. I didn't go through and step through it, partly because I couldn't find it on YouTube yet. But I did take notes on that, and we'll save that to the end for anyone who feels like the preview contains spoilers. So we'll save that for the end. All right. So we start out the episode in 2004 in a flash sideways, and Locke wakes up from surgery and he sees Jack. Jack asks Locke what caused his original spinal injury that put him in the wheelchair in the first place. And Locke doesn't answer. Jack says the reason he's asking is because he says, I think you're a candidate, which of course, has kind of a double meaning right now on the show, because as we know, there are candidates to replace Jacob out on the island as well. And the episode title again is The Candidate. So, this is, I guess where the episode title comes from. Last week's episode, by the way, was called The Recruit. So we have The Recruit, which apparently referred to Jack, and now we have The Candidate, which, apparently from the first scene and, actually pertains to John Locke in the flash sideways, which is kind of interesting. I think probably most people, at least I certainly presumed that The Candidate was going to be a reference to one of the characters in the 2007 On the Island plot that's going on right now. So Jack offers to fix Locke and Locke refuses. And this goes on several times actually throughout the episode. And so in 2007 On the Island, Jack wakes up and he sees Saeed with a gun, and Saeed says to Jack, "Welcome to Hydra Island." And he says something like, "At least you didn't have to swim here." Because Jack had, of course, just gone from the boat to the main island, and at the end of the last episode, which it's hard to believe it was 2 weeks ago that we had the last episode, but we ended the episode with the man in black taking Jack away from where Zoe and Widmore's people had dropped the bomb near them on the beach. Now apparently, I don't know, I guess either Jack lost consciousness or something happened where he had been transported to the Hydra Island and then he wakes up on that island. So we know now that they're all apparently on the same island together. Widmore, obviously, he's got his camp set up on the Hydra Island. That's where the airplane is. And so now everybody apparently is on Hydra Island. Meanwhile, Sawyer and Kate get put back in the caves and, or sorry, not the caves. I mistyped that in my notes. The cages, back on the Hydra Island that they were in, previously. And this was kind of an interesting scene, because Charles Widmore reveals that Kate isn't on his list. Sawyer grabs a gun from one of Widmore's people, it's kind of funny that it's a totally different group that's imprisoning them in the same cages this time, but, so they're being imprisoned again and Sawyer grabs a gun and, you know, Charles Widmore comes rushing out with a gun and puts it against Kate's neck. And, he says that Kate isn't on his list, but Ford, Reyes, and the Kwans are. And so this is kind of interesting because, you know, I keep going back to this comment from the executive producers on the official podcast about how, you know, they sort of implied or more or less said almost directly that there was some significance to Kate's name not being crossed out in the lighthouse. But it was crossed out in the caves. We've gotten so much confirmation on her name, you know, not being crossed out in the lighthouse and also, yes, being crossed out in the caves. And so it's like, okay, so is there some purpose that Kate has? I don't know. I still feel like they should do that for how they've kind of talked about it. But yeah, as the Diesel 929 says in the chat, I stopped taking Damon and Carlton seriously in season 3. Yeah, sometimes I kind of feel that way too. But anyway. So, in any case, Widmore basically reveals that according to his list, Kate Austin is not on it, either. So, now, and the significance, I think, to that is that Charles Widmore seems to be on Jacob's side. So, if Jacob does have some secret plan for Kate, which, that would explain why her name was crossed out in the caves, which the Man in Black knew about, but not in the lighthouse, which, you know, perhaps the Man in Black doesn't know about. You know, my thought was that Jacob was doing this to protect her in some way, or to trick the Man in Black, as an alternate way of looking at that. That maybe, perhaps the Man in Black would make a mistake and leave Kate behind, thinking that she didn't need to leave the island. And that would foil his plot to leave the island or something to that effect. So now I'm not really sure what to think, because if Charles Widmore is on Jacob's side, and again, I get that from Jacob telling Hurley in the lighthouse episode that, you know, someone was coming to the island who, you know, was going to help them, basically, is kind of at least the implication, if not stated directly. So I don't know what to think about Kate at this point, but it is interesting that Charles Widmore's list also does not include Kate. Okay, so Widmore asks if the fence is live yet, which is kind of weird because they just had the fence working, like at the end of the last episode. They turned it off just briefly so that, you know, Jen and Sun could be reunited, and so they're, you know, the people who came over from the boat could be brought into Widmore's territory or whatever. And so obviously the fences had been working at the end of the last episode, and they just turned them off temporarily, or so it seemed. And now this episode starts with Widmore asking if the fence is live yet, and they say in about an hour. Now, why in the world would it not be working for about an hour? I don't know. They didn't explain that. That was very weird. Widmore says they haven't got an hour because he's coming, obviously referring to the Man in Black or the Smoke Monster. Jumping back to the 2004 Flash Sideways, Jack introduces himself to Bernard Nadler, of course Bernard, from the show, and asks about Locke's original injury. Bernard, of course, is Locke's dentist, and I guess Jack found out that Bernard had done some dental work around the same time as the accident happened. And so Bernard gives Jack the name of the man who was with Locke, which is Anthony Cooper. And by the way, there's this little interesting subplot about Flight 815. This keeps coming up over and over again in this episode, where Jack, you know, keeps realizing that there are these weird connections with Flight 815 over and over again. And anyway, so Bernard teases Jack about, oh yeah, you were the one flirting with my wife while I was in the toilet or something like that. Anyway, okay, so back to 2007, on the island, Said says to Jack, Locke saved you. And Said says, he explains, it's just the three of us now because the rest of them scattered when the bomb happened, apparently. Which kind of seems like a convenient thing to, like, get the other actors off the show, either, you know, permanently, possibly, or at least for the time being, so they don't have to keep showing Cindy and the kids and all that stuff. Okay, so the Man in Black asks Jack to help him convince his friends to trust him. And meanwhile, Sun puts Jen's wedding ring back on him. And I guess that was kind of foreshadowing something that would happen later in the episode. But then the power goes out suddenly and the pylons stop working. So obviously, you know, either they had gotten the pylons online a lot faster than they thought they would, or, you know, over an hour has gone by since the last time that we saw them, with Widmore complaining that the pylons weren't on yet. And then the power goes out, the pylons stop working, and then the Smoke Monster appears and starts to take out Widmore's men. He kills this man, that's right next to the caves. And he's the guy with the keys. And in fact, it happens to be the same guy that Sawyer stole the gun from earlier. Okay, so then suddenly Jack shows up and takes the dead Widmore team member's keys and sets his friends free, explaining, I'm with him. So he admits that that he's with the Smoke Monster. And that, you know, basically, it's kind of funny because just before this, Hurley was like, oh, we're so dead or something like that. We're totally dead. And I was thinking, oh yeah, right. Like, obviously we know that's not going to happen because the show's not that close to being done yet. But, you know, anyways, kind of a funny line from him. And then, Jack after the commercial break, so they're going through the jungle and Said shows up and, Jack says that Said turned off the generators. So that explains where, you know, how the power went out. Okay, so in 2004, in another Flash Sideways, we find Anthony Cooper is in a nursing home, and he's incapable of walking and speaking. And we, of course, find out later in the episode the reason behind that. Now, this is interesting also because Sawyer had been looking for Anthony Cooper. Which, you know, it's kind of funny because it seems as though what happened in the Flash Sideways, like, it seems as though Locke and his dad had a good relationship, and yet, you know, Sawyer still apparently was, you know, his parents were apparently conned by Anthony Cooper, or at least that's what he seems to have figured out. That's why he went, you know, to Australia, or, you know, that's because that's where he found this information out in the Sideways timeline. So I guess maybe what happened there is that Anthony Cooper maybe was a bad guy prior to a certain point in time, and maybe the whole, you know, I mean, obviously what seems to be the case is that the split occurred between these two universes in 1977 when the bomb went off. And so if the Khan of Sawyer's parents, or that is of James's parents, happened prior to that date, then that would explain, you know, that maybe Anthony Cooper was the bad guy at that point, and maybe sometime after 1977, when the split occurred, he changed his ways and became a good guy, and you know, ended up becoming friends with his son John Locke. And Diesel929 in the chat suggests this theory that perhaps the James Ford Khan may have been the last of his Khans. He had been redeemed like Saeed was, I'm referring to later in the episode. Okay, so back to the island in 2007. Locke finds a strange wire in the plane. And so this, of course, led me to believe, and my wife, that, okay, well, it must be rigged with explosives. So why else would there be these strange wires? And so the man in black comes out of the plane and explains to, you know, Saeed and Jack and everybody else who just showed up there that he explains to the candidates that the plane was rigged with C4, and he shows it to them. And the man in black says that they need to take the submarine instead. And Sawyer pretends to be on the man in black's side, saying, maybe I was wrong about you, or something to that effect. And then Claire apologizes to Locke, and Locke says it's all right. So he seems to be very forgiving of Claire, and I don't know. Well, I guess we'll see what ultimately ends up happening with that, because she was afraid that Locke, you know, really the man in black, was going to be upset with her. And I don't know. He doesn't seem to be as upset as she expected. So that's, I don't know if something is going to change there, or I mean, he certainly had the opportunity to kill Claire in this episode when they were alone together, and he chose not to. So maybe he is okay with Claire after all. So, and then Sawyer tells Jack privately to not let the man in black in the sub because he doesn't trust it. Or he says that thing or something like that. He doesn't call him the man in black, but okay. So 2004, flash sideways again. Locke is muttering in his sleep, push the button, and I wish you had believed me, which, of course, are lines from the original timeline. This is very weird, and there was no, like, explanation for this in the show, but Jack overhears Locke muttering these things in his sleep. So I wonder if Locke is having dreams about the alternate timeline or what's going on there. So Claire shows up and asks if she can talk with Jack, and Jack gets an Apollo bar from the machine. And at some point here, they also sort of have this the same conversation that Jack had earlier, you know, about with Bernard, finding out that they were both on Flight 815. And in fact, Jack guesses that she had been on that flight. And so this is all very interesting. You know, Jack is starting to figure out that something is kind of weird here with why, you know, why all these people that he's running into that he's involved with were all on Flight 815. So then Claire said that she'd never even met this man, and I think she was referring to her father at that point, which is interesting as well, because in the original timeline, we know that that Christian sang Catch a Falling Star to her when she was younger, and she remembered that in her later years. And so in this alternate timeline, for some reason, Christian Shepherd, he knew about his daughter, but apparently wasn't a part of her life, at least not for as long, you know, so, and not long enough for Claire to be able to have memories of him. Claire asks how Christian died, and Jack gives the same cause of death as in the original timeline, which is he basically died after over-drinking in Australia. And Claire has a music box that Christian left for her that plays Catch a Falling Star, and she doesn't know why he would have left that for her again, that's getting back to what we just were talking about there. Jack offers to let Claire stay with him instead of at her hotel, because they're family, not strangers. So they have kind of a sweet moment together. Back on the island in 2007, Sawyer and Frank Lapidus enter the sub and take control. The Man in Black, this is a very action-packed sequence, very exciting sequence to watch. The Man in Black tries again to convince Jack to board the sub and says whoever told him he should stay didn't know what he was talking about. Jack says that John Locke told him that, and Jack pushes the Man in Black, who looks like John Locke, into the water. A very bold move by Jack. But an interesting one too, because, Jack made the point later that the Man in Black can't kill them. And I would think that if the Man in Black had been just shoved in, into the water by this, this candidate, that if he was able to kill them, I think Jack's absolutely right that if he could kill them, he would have. Especially, he would have killed Jack or harmed Jack in some way for shoving him in the water. Of course, maybe he thought that he was already going to get his revenge anyway, because Jack had the backpack with him that he took into the sub. And of course, we find out about that in a few minutes. But so the Man in Black gets out of the water and begins taking out Widmore's men with gunfire along with Claire. Sawyer chooses to leave Claire behind on the dock because the Man in Black begins to approach the sub. Jack discovers that the Man in Black gave him a bomb in the backpack, and there's less than 4 minutes left on the timer. Saeed tries to defuse the bomb. Jack says Locke can't kill us and tries to convince Sawyer not to pull the wires because they'll be killing themselves if they try to tamper with it, rather than the Man in Black killing them. And so that's Jack's theory anyway. But Sawyer, of course, pulls it anyway. He doesn't trust Jack. And, as my wife pointed out, he's probably thinking of Juliet at this time. I'm not going to trust you again, Jack. And so Saeed tries to defuse the bomb, pulls up, yanks the wires, and the clock seems to stop. And yeah, and then it starts going quickly. And of course, that's going to happen. It's not really going to stop, because there have been enough bombs in this show and others where you just know it's going to keep on going, and it's going to go faster. At the very least, continue at the same pace. But anyway, and yeah, Bailey Bear points out in the chat, when did Sawyer work for the bomb squad? Yeah, probably not the best idea for Sawyer to try to pull the wires out. So I guess, and I know Sawyer fan girls are going to hate me for this, but I guess it could be said that Sawyer's mistake may have ended up killing Jen and Son later in the episode. but yeah. On the other hand, maybe Jack wasn't right, and maybe it didn't really matter that Sawyer pulled the wires out. Who knows? And obviously, Son, Sawyer didn't mean to kill Jen and Son, but it's just one of those things that ended up happening. Okay, so Saeed tells Jack about Desmond, and then Saeed runs with the bomb to get it away from them, as far away from them as possible, and he sacrifices himself. He dies running with the bomb to get it as far away from them as possible. And as Bailey Bear pointed out in the chat earlier, this was Saeed's redemptive moment. Finally, Saeed has been redeemed in spite of, having the sickness and so forth. He's done a good deed to sacrifice himself for other people. And, there have been a lot of Bible references and stuff, especially this season. And that sort of reminded me of, there's a verse in the New Testament that says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." So Saeed showed love for his friends in laying down his life for them. So definitely a redemptive moment. All right, so Jack, Son, Jack, Jin, and Sawyer try to rescue Son, who's trapped, but it's not enough to save her. I guess she's double trapped. And so they get the first layer off of her, and then there's something else holding her back. And then Sawyer gets knocked unconscious, and so Jack has to take him to the surface. Jin stays with Sun, and they have this emotional scene, and, you know, Jin says he's not going to leave her again. And so they die together underwater. It was both a touching scene and also, for me, a frustrating scene, honestly, because... You know, here, you know, as they're having this conversation with each other about, you know, Sun at first tries to convince Jin to save himself. And, you know, I was thinking, why is neither one of them, especially Sun, like bringing up her daughter, you know, their daughter, Ji Yeon, why did neither of them think of their child in this moment? You know, who's going to raise the child? You know, it should be one of us, you know? And it was very frustrating that Jin wouldn't save himself when he had the opportunity to. I mean, it was supposed to be like a sweet and touching moment that he wants to die with his wife, but he didn't have to die. You know, if he had survived, then he could have at least cared for their daughter, you know? And, I don't know. It was, to me, a frustrating moment. And, I don't know. It kind of took away from some of the sorrow of the scene for me to kind of be frustrated that they didn't even mention Ji Yeon. So, and it also kind of reminded me too of the scene, you know, when Charlie died. Of course, to me personally, that scene was more touching, and maybe it was just my mood at the time of watching these two scenes. But, you know, even with Charlie's death, he shut himself in rather than getting outside and shutting himself out with Desmond. You know, I mean, it just seems like Charlie could have saved himself and Desmond. He didn't have to lock himself in there so that he would die. And it was the same, you know, kind of a similar thing I thought tonight with Jin. So, 2004, we have another flash sideways. Locke explains how he got injured to Jack. He says that he was in a plane crash and that his father was his first passenger and the accident was his fault, and now his father will never walk or talk again. And so Jack says, "What happened happened, and you can let it go." And Locke chooses to leave anyway. He still doesn't want to be healed. Jack says, "I can help you, John. I wish you believed me." And Locke finishes wheeling himself away. That's the end of the flash sideways for the episode. Back on the island, Jack, Sawyer, Hurley, and Kate are all alive on the beach. And Locke says, meanwhile, this is, you know, cutting to another scene. Locke says to Claire, "It's sunk." Just out of the blue, he kind of says, "It's sunk." And she says, "What? They're all dead?" And the man in black, you know, I should say not Locke, but the man in black says, "Not all of them." So somehow he seems to have this connection with the candidates where he knows if they die. Or at least that's the impression that I got. And then I think the final comment that he made was something about how he's going to go finish what he started. And so he takes off with a gun, if I remember right. There was a question in the chat. Do we think the Ajira plane isn't done yet? And my response to that would be that I don't know how they ever thought that they were going to get the plane off the island in the first place. They don't have any way to fuel it. They don't have any way to turn it around to get it back on a runway. I didn't particularly notice in this episode, by the way. I guess I should have been looking more closely for that to see if it was on like a smooth runway. But yes, there's no fuel. They have no way to turn it around. You know, like it should be a lot more damaged than it looks from crash landing on the island. And I just can't, like, I don't know. Like, even with Frank being a pilot, I don't see how there's any possible way they could get that plane off the ground. That's just my opinion on that, though. And, yeah, Diesel929 points out, he says, "I'm telling you, I could swear the windshield busted. Didn't a stick impale the co-pilot? A stick crashed through on impact of the landing." Yeah, so I mean, I don't know how they thought that they were going to be able to get at a high altitude anyway when the captain's cabin, or I don't know, whatever you call it on a plane, is breached. Like, they have no way to seal that off. I mean, there's just so many problems with this plane. And Bailey Bear has a good comment. Maybe the Man in Black just used the excuse of the plane to get all the Losties together. And Diesel99 in the chat agrees. That is the only thing that makes sense. Yeah, and so Diesel99 looked it up on Lostpedia, and it says that the co-pilot died when a tree branch came through the window and harpooned his chest, spraying blood over Frank Lapidus. So, yeah, there's a big, giant hole in the front of the plane. Okay, so I think we're just about to wrap up. There's a couple more points of discussion related to the episode that I think are worth talking about here. Earlier in the chat, Diesel929 said that shared this interesting tidbit from Lostpedia. As of the end of this episode, Jack, Kate, Sawyer, Hurley, Claire, and Walt are the only main cast members from season one who are still alive in the original timeline. So that's six characters, one of whom is not even on the island, which is Walt. And so we only have five characters from the main season one cast who are still alive on the island: Jack, Kate, Sawyer, Hurley, and Claire. Also, another interesting comment that Bailey Bear had earlier, kind of on a related note, the only candidates left, she pointed out, are Jack, Sawyer, and Hurley. So that's interesting. I guess if we're presuming that Saeed was a candidate and that Jin and Sun were both candidates, then those would be three of the six. So, you know, Alana again mentioned that there were six candidates. She didn't know if it was Sun or Jin, which implies that only one of them was a candidate. And so that would mean that Sun or Jin, so there should be one more candidate, which could be Kate, but I don't know. That whole thing has been very confusing. I really wish that Alana hadn't, in a way, I kind of wish that Alana hadn't said six and then said Sun or Jin, because later on it sort of seemed to be implied on the show that, that Sun and Jin were both being considered candidates. So I don't know what's going on there, but as far as we know, the only candidates left are Jack, Sawyer, and Hurley. And I guess, again, I'll bring up that, possibly the sixth candidate, or in this case, you know, one of the four who are left, could still be Kate Austin if we are assuming that Ilana had the number, of candidates left according to the lighthouse. So I don't know. She would be the only one, by the way, going by the lighthouse, apparently, because the Man in Black doesn't know about the lighthouse listing Kate as still being a candidate. And Charles Widmore, who's on Jacob's side also, doesn't know that Kate is still a candidate. Or maybe he's lying. Here, I mean, there's another theory about that. I hadn't really even considered that before. But yeah, maybe Widmore was lying. I don't really think that's the case. I don't see why he'd have any reason to say that. If James, you know, if Sawyer had been to the caves and had seen Kate's name crossed out, you know, maybe Widmore knew that and was using that to his advantage. And so maybe he could have been lying. Maybe Widmore actually does know that Kate is a candidate. Here's another thought on that. Another thought is that perhaps the Kwan who is the candidate is actually Ji Yeon, their daughter, who, of course, is off the island. I guess we don't really know for sure that the candidates... Well, no, actually, I take that back. We do know that the candidates can be off the island because, obviously, you know, Jack and so forth, you know, the Oceanic Six left the island, and then and they were still candidates because they came back. We know that they were candidates prior to leaving the island, and even prior to them coming to the island in the first place because of the lighthouse. We know that they were being watched from, you know, Jack when he was growing up. You know, we saw the shot of his house and also Sun and Jin's, you know, wedding location. So we know that they were already candidates prior to even coming to the island. And so they were candidates off the island at that point in time. Then they left the island and they were still candidates and they came back to the island. So obviously, it's still possible that Ji Yeon could be the Quan who is a candidate. And, so there you go. I guess we can't really officially rule that out. Everybody's kind of presuming, and you know, even on the show, everyone just kind of assumes that it's either Jin or Sun. And I don't know if that's the writers trying to tell us that that's the case, or if it's just the interpretation of these characters that are not taking everything into consideration, maybe not realizing that they have a daughter whose last name would also be Quan. I don't know. Who knows? In any case, I would say that we can't necessarily rule that out as a possibility at this point, unless the unless the executive producers officially say on an official podcast, no, Ji Yeon is not a candidate, or if they say, no, Kate is not a candidate, and the only candidates left are Jack, Sawyer, and Hurley. If they say that, good, we can stop speculating about it. And Diesel929 in the chat says... This is really sad, but it's funny in a way. It's terrible, though. They need to blow up Ji Yeon just to stop the stupid speculation. They blow up whatever they don't want to revisit. So, yeah. No, and I'm not advocating that they actually blow her up, but I just... Yeah. Anyway. If you want to complain, complain to Diesel929. Okay. So, screenshots and Easter eggs... unfortunately, there still doesn't seem to be anything on lost.qubit.net. They've been way behind recently, and, they don't have anything new there. Although darkufos.lostEasterEggs.blogspot.com, looks like it was just updated while we were recording with some, screenshots from the episode. So let me take a look at those really quickly and see if, there's anything interesting. No, I don't see any really obvious Easter eggs yet in looking through the screenshots. It doesn't look like they have all of the screenshots posted yet. So a couple of questions and comments in the chat here. Someone pointed out that there were reflections again in the episode of Jack and Claire in the Flash Sideways. And that was in the music box. It had a mirror in it. And so we saw both of their faces in reflection. Also, so Diesel929 asks, is Cindy dead and Zach and Emma? I'm going to guess that they're probably still alive. I mean, based on Said's comment, they kind of all scattered and ran off when the bombs started coming or something like that. Billy Bear asks, so did we find out what the purpose of Jack and Locke's Flash Sideways was besides finding out Cooper is a vegetable? You know, I'm not really sure that we necessarily know the answer to what the significance is between a lot of the Flash Sideways scenes that we've seen, other than just to kind of give us a random other subplot, like to fill time in the finale, you know, season. But... You know, I'm hoping that it's more than just that. I mean, obviously the executive producers have some reason why they're going to all the trouble of showing us the Flash Sideways. And I hope it's not just, you know, a gimmick or something to fill time. I think that they have some real purpose behind it, but yeah, it's a little bit hard to see at this point. I think obviously Desmond in the Flash Sideways is going to have some big part to play, you know, in kind of reuniting them and maybe joining the two timelines together. I don't know how that's going to happen, but you know, supposedly something like that is going to be how, you know, something that will happen at some point, but I don't know. Is Kate going to make it to the finale? Diesel929 asks. Bailey Bear thinks so. Yeah, I don't know. I would have thought that she would, but I mean, based on the past several episodes, it's kind of hard to say for sure. I think it would be sad if Kate died just because she's an original character, you know, one of the original characters on the show. And of course it's always, well, you know, it's usually, disappointing or sad in some way to see those characters die. So, and Bailey Bear thinks, she can't die because she has to resolve something with Claire first. Diesel 929 brings up an interesting point, that someone needs to tell Claire that her mom's out of the coma. And, you know, as far as any of us can recall, Kate still hasn't told Claire that her grandma, you know, or that, sorry, that Aaron's grandma, Claire's mother, is the one raising Aaron. And it seems as though Claire probably doesn't know at this point that her mother is out of the coma and is raising Aaron. Like, I don't think they've ever revealed that on the show, that Kate has said that to Claire. Although I kind of, I don't know. I almost wonder though, if that could be, maybe a scene that just never made the cut. Cause I mean, wouldn't you think that Claire would be curious, like, who is raising her son at the moment? So I don't know. And, Diesel 929 says the Lost Lowdown went into deep discussion about this on their podcast, for The Last Recruit. All right. Anybody else have any other comments or thoughts, theories, anything else that they want to put out there before we get into the preview for next week's episode? Okay. Well, there's a good question. Bailey Bear, asks, what is Desmond there for? That's a good question. Obviously, he serves some purpose because Charles Widmore specifically brought Desmond back to the island because he's the package and because, you know, he has some sort of special ability to be able to withstand, you know, giant amounts of electromagnetism. Of course, you know, I wonder if it's possible if what Charles Widmore needed from Desmond is already done with. Because maybe that whole thing, I mean, if you remember from that episode, it seemed as though Desmond was having these, like, consciousness traveling through time things again because, you know, his flash sideways self passed out at the stadium, you know, at the same time that he woke up on the island, or so it seemed anyway. And so, yeah, I kind of wonder if Desmond has already fulfilled his purpose, because now in the flash sideways, Desmond is putting these things in order. He's bringing people together to make connections, to have recollections of the original timeline. I wonder if that was Widmore's purpose, was to get Desmond to be thinking about that. Although at the same time, you know, Desmond's purpose doesn't seem to be completely over yet, because, you know, Saeed told Jack that, you know, where to find Desmond. By the way, that's one thing that we did get confirmed in this episode, is that Desmond is not dead. Saeed admitted that. I mean, I guess we probably, most people kind of assumed that Saeed didn't really kill Desmond, but now we get confirmation of that Desmond is in fact alive. You know, something that just occurred to me is that, you know, when Desmond ran into Locke in the parking lot, you know, I guess we kind of assumed that he was trying to give him a near-death experience so that he would have memories of the island. Either that, or maybe he was getting revenge because he himself, Desmond meaning, had recollections of someone who looked like Locke having shoved him in the well. So I guess that could be a possibility there too. But I like the idea that maybe Desmond, you know, ran into Locke to get him to have a recollection of the island, and then in this episode, Locke sort of did. It was in a dream or whatever. It was while he was sleeping, but he was muttering things about, you know, things that he had said in the original timeline. So that's kind of interesting. So maybe Desmond's purpose in running over Locke was fulfilled there. Wow, this is really interesting. Kate Jack in the chat just shared a link with some breaking news from Dark UFO's site. And according to The Hollywood Reporter, the producers of ABC's hit drama, yada yada yada, basically said that they're going to extend the last episode by an extra half hour. So apparently, according to this report, the Lost finale is now going to be from 9 to 11:30 p.m. on Sunday, May 23rd, the date of the finale. And apparently, again, according to the Hollywood Reporter, they're going to run over the news and go right up against the Jimmy Kimmel Live Aloha to Lost post-finale special, which is that's going to stay at 11:30 on ABC. And so that's basically the announcement. So thanks, Kate Jack, for passing that along. All right. So I think that's probably going to be all that we're going to get as far as discussion of the episode and other comments and theories and things like that. So let's go into the preview next. This is all I wrote down, but basically it appears to be centric to the Man in Black and Jacob. We have the scene from season one that I've made reference to several times, and I'm sure lots of other podcasters and bloggers have also made reference to this, where John Locke said in season one, two players, two sides, one is light, one is dark. And we're getting the fulfillment of this foreshadowing, especially in this season when we're seeing the sides of the Man in Black being, you know, the dark side and Jacob being the light side. Of course, John Locke was talking about backgammon in season one, but you know, we've sort of seen the parallels of this as it relates to the Man in Black and Jacob in this season, especially with the scene in the cave where the Man in Black, you know, he looks at the balance and it's got the dark stone and the light stone on it on either side. And so they quote and in fact show like a clip of that scene from season one, and then there are some shots, several shots of the Man in Black and Jacob. So it appears as though the next episode is going to be I don't know if you'd call it that, but centric to the Man in Black and Jacob. So maybe we'll even find out about their origin. That would be probably a big reveal. I would be maybe a little bit surprised if they go that deep into their origins and things like that in the next episode. But all right. Also, this is the last spoiler that I have. This actually comes from Geronimo Jack's beard, which is not really, it's not normally a spoiler source because it's Jorge Garcia's podcast. And typically, he doesn't talk about things that are coming up in future episodes, but he kind of, I don't know if he realized that he was giving a spoiler at the time, but he talked about, and this may be potentially big, I mean, because it involves like who's going to be in the season finale. So he mentions three characters in particular that are all in the season finale. So if you don't want to know, you know, which three characters he mentioned are all going to be in the finale episode, then tune out right now. Okay. So these are the three people that he mentioned: Kate, Hurley, and Ben. He said that all three of those characters are going to be in the season finale. And the way that he said it was basically talking about how each of those actors who plays those roles was finishing up their shoots. And so obviously all three of those characters are going to be in the season finale if those actors were part of that. So that'll do it for this week. Until next time, stay lost and namaste. If you have a product or service that you'd like to market to thousands of Lost fans, find out how you can become a sponsor of this podcast. Send an email to thelostmeister@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Please check out the Josh Meister's Lost blog for links related to this podcast. The address again is thelostmeister, that's thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Thank you, and namaste.